This is a People First Radio podcast.
A team at the Canadian Center on Substance Use and Addiction wants to make it easier for people who use cannabis to know how much THC they're taking in. The center has been working on an initiative to implement a standard unit of consumption for THC, sort of like the idea of a standard drink for alcohol. A Canadian standard drink when it comes to alcohol is 13.45 grams of pure alcohol, which works out to 1.5 ounces of a 40% liquor, or 341 milliliters of a 5% alcohol content beer, or 142 milliliters of 12% wine. The recommendation for a unit of THC is 2.5 milligrams. I reached out to the Canadian Center on Substance Use and Addiction for more on the call for a standard THC unit.
My name is Shay Wood, and I'm a senior knowledge broker at the Canadian Center on Substance Use and Addiction. And my work, I really lead a lot of the knowledge mobilization work on the cannabis file here at CCSA, and also oversee much of our work related to youth prevention and health promotion.
And one of the files that you've been working on is the idea of a standard unit of consumption for cannabis in Canada. Can you tell me what that is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk about a standard THC unit. I wonder, Joe, if it's okay if I give a little background info and context that might be helpful for some of the listeners.
Please.
All right. So, I mean, I'm sure people will know cannabis comes from the cannabis plant. And actually cannabis, the flower, the bud that comes from the plant contains more than 100 chemical compounds called cannabinoids. And one of the most well-known is THC, and that's delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol. There's other well-known cannabinoids as well, like CBD, cannabidiol. But we talk about THC a lot because it is that ingredient that makes people feel high when they consume cannabis. It's that primary psychoactive ingredient of cannabis. It's also researched for medical applications. So people probably know that in 2018, cannabis became legal in Canada for non-medical purposes. And at that time, really just a dried flower and some oils were available on the legal market. And then a year later in 2019, the market expanded significantly, and there were a lot of different types of products available. So that includes edible products, concentrates, things like this. And so now cannabis can be used to create a wide variety of products available on our legal market. Like I said, edibles, beverages, things. So concentrates, when we talk about concentrates, we're talking about extracting those, cannabinoids out of the cannabis plant and concentrating them in a different format. So those are available, vapes, all of this stuff available on the legal market now and can be consumed in different ways. So all of that to say, just to give a little kind of that front loading around THC, because we're talking about a standard unit of THC, that the concentration of THC found in cannabis has really increased over time. And compared to some of the products we had, 25 years ago and beyond, these modern cannabis products contain substantially higher levels of THC. So we kind of talk about them as higher potency products. Worth mentioning that many people use cannabis occasionally without experiencing any significant problems related to cannabis use. But research does show that higher amounts of THC exposure increases the risk of experiencing certain harms or adverse experiences. So, frequent or higher potency product use, particularly when it's used, initiated maybe at a younger age or used over a long period of time, it's been associated with different risks for, different health conditions, like experiencing symptoms of psychosis, cardiovascular issues, cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, which is a condition involving stomach pain and sort of cyclical vomiting, and also developing a cannabis use disorder or addiction to cannabis. So Just want to give some context there that, those risks are associated with cannabis use, especially large amounts of THC use, and but the risk can vary significantly depending on lots of factors like the amount used, frequency, or how often it's used, and the method of consumption, or even individual vulnerability factors like family history, medical history, history of mental health conditions. So, just wanted to let you know that because really the main point is that understanding exposure to THC is really important. And it's both important in research, so like trying to investigate and determine how much THC is really related to certain health outcomes, but also really important for individuals using cannabis so that they can make decisions about how much THC they want to consume. And because we have this diverse range of cannabis products available now, that diversity makes it kind of difficult to communicate and measure THC. Some products, they measure it in terms of concentration. So they communicate THC as a percentage, some milligrams or milligrams per gram. So in that kind of context of diversity of products and really the importance of understanding THC exposure, that's sort of where a concept of a standard THC unit emerged from and is important within that context.
Maybe one of the easier ways into this conversation for people might be comparing and contrasting the situation to alcohol, where there's this idea of a standard drink. You have a sense that maybe a can of beer equals a certain sized glass of wine equals an ounce and a half of some kind of hard liquor. How would you explain the situation, the analogous situation with cannabis in that context of like a standard drink? What is the standard drink of cannabis?
Great question. And in a way, it is like a standard drink for alcohol. So, really, when we're thinking about a standard THC unit, sort of the definition, like the standard drink, is a pretty simple and straightforward concept. It's a set amount of THC measured in milligrams applied across all cannabis products and methods of use. So, in Canada, for THC, that has been recommended at 2.5 milligrams. And again, that purpose is to provide a practical and a standardized metric for measuring and communicating THC across those different product formats. And so that's what a standard unit of THC is. It's a unit of measurement. And from there, it has different uses. So similar to a standard drink for alcohol, a standard drink is also used in measurement. It's a standard amount, a set amount of pure ethanol or alcohol. So in Canada, that's 13.45 grams of ethanol or pure alcohol. And just like you said, a standard drink, so that amount of pure alcohol, that psychoactive ingredient, like we're talking about THC as a psychoactive ingredient, that amount of alcohol is consistent across these different products, even when the products look really different. And so I think that that's sometimes, a good way to start to think about it for people who are just new to the concept of a standard THC unit. Cannabis is a bit more complex for several reasons, one being that there's different ways to use it. So you can inhale the product and ingest it, so, eating or drinking. But similarly, it's a tool to understand exposure to the primary psychoactive ingredient across product formats. And now we've been using that quite for alcohol, actually quite effectively in research. So, we now understand the impacts of alcohol and their effects on health, and we can actually create risk thresholds for how much alcohol might increase your risk of experiencing certain outcomes. And you can get that information in Canada's Guidance on Alcohol and Health. But the goal is to get there too with cannabis and with THC, to be more precise about what we can say about how much THC might contribute to certain outcomes or certain effects. And then, beyond research is really important, but beyond research, then people, individuals who want to use cannabis, like they do when they're kind of counting their drinks to see how much exposure they have to alcohol, how much alcohol they're taking in. That they're able to then use that unit to make decisions about how much THC they want to consume, especially if they're using different product formats. If I'm smoking dried cannabis one day, having a drink another day, or an edible a standard THC unit would allow someone to have a better understanding, a deeper understanding of how much THC they're taking in across those different products.
Could you explain to me the difference between different methods of consuming cannabis, whether that's smoking, eating some kind of gummy, or having some kind of cannabis beverage? How do each of those impact how much THC you're taking in?
Yeah, really, really good question because we know that different methods of use have different qualities and they affect people differently. So when we are inhaling a product, we can feel the effects very quickly. So within a few seconds to a few minutes, we can feel the effects. And they usually are shorter in duration, in terms of how long it lasts. When we ingest cannabis products, we know they go into our digestive tract. They take longer to get into our bloodstream, to our brain. And so sometimes the effects are delayed. We might not feel the full effects of ingesting cannabis for a longer period of time. And sometimes the effects, depending, of course, on how much THC you're consuming across all methods of use, but sometimes of ingested products, the effects can last quite a bit longer. So I think it's really important. Actually, you lead into, I think, something that might be helpful to clarify because there are some common misconceptions, perhaps, around a standard THC unit that I think sometimes can be a barrier for us moving forward with it. And one of them is that some people think that when we establish a standard THC unit, it means that we're saying that it's going to be equivalent or the same effects across different products or methods of use. And of course, we're talking about applying it across all products or methods of use. But, you know, what someone experiences might not be the same. So, just for an example, someone might experience different effects from using one standard unit through an edible as they would when they use one standard unit through smoking or vaping. Because again, we know that they have different qualities, they affect people differently. And some research does suggest that sort of the peak high might be similar across different product formats, although it might hit a bit differently in terms of its timing or its length. But there's still, you know, more work and research that needs to be done on that aspect. But actually, by having this common metric, we're not saying ex the experience of using one unit would be the same across all product formats, but having it allows us to actually do the research, examining and comparing the effects from different cannabis products and methods of use at comparable levels of THC. So again, it's a tool that we can use to understand what the similarities and differences might be across different product formats.
Could you speak to me about the specific number you've suggested for this standard unit? 2.5 milligrams. I've seen some research you've worked on that suggested regular cannabis users might look at that and say, that's really low. And that there might be, for example, in years past in other places, examples of a joint having more than 10 times that much. Could you talk to me about what that number means in context?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, we've been working. We have at CCSA, we convene some working groups of different types of experts and people with lived experience of cannabis use who have been working on bringing together evidence and information to help inform the implementation of a standard THC unit in Canada. And one of those reports was around kind of the parameters for choosing what makes up that set amount of THC in the unit. Or, and I think there are definitely different parameters that you would use, and it would depend the weight that you put on the different parameters, really depends on the jurisdiction. So, for example, for comparing back to alcohol, different areas, different countries have different standard drinks, the amount of pure alcohol that's in their standard drink. And they've made that decision based on a lot of factors, historical factors, the types of, you know, we call it ecological data, but the types of products that are commonly used in their region, scientific or experimental data around how much intoxication is, how much, you know, that psychoactive ingredient leads to intoxication. For us, we looked at all different parameters that some of our colleagues internationally have used to identify a standard THC unit. Tom Freeman And Valentina Lorenzetti did a lot of work in this area, and they came up with some great parameters. And now we are looking at them within the Canadian context. And our context is pretty different from other places in the world because we have a federally legalized substance, so it's legal across our whole country, even though different provinces might make different regulations around cannabis. We have these diversity of product formats. We have all different types of cannabis users, right? We have people who have never used cannabis before who might be walking into a store for the first time. We have people who have been using cannabis for a very long time. We have older adults. At the beginning of legalization, we saw actually older adults were kind of one of the age groups that were climbing the fastest. They've plateaued since, but so all different types of cannabis users. And we consider all those facts when we're trying to identify what the unit should be. Now, I think it's important personally to point out that the unit itself isn't as important as its application. So, it could be 5 milligrams, it could be 2.5 milligrams. What's important is that it's a standard metric, a kind of, a metric that's universal that we use across the different product formats, because then we can really have that comparability between products and we can have a consistent messaging around what a unit is. So definitely would encourage people to look at the parameters report that we put out at CCSA if they want to understand what goes into selecting that unit. One of the key features we said was some people might interpret a standard unit as a starting dose. And I think that that is maybe another misconception I could speak to, but if that's the way that people are interpreting it, then we wouldn't want that to be too high that it might cause adverse effects. So maybe just on that point, Joe, before I move on, that the standard unit in itself isn't a recommended dose. Again, it's a unit of measurement, a measurement tool. It's not a dosing recommendation. So it doesn't necessarily indicate how much THC a person should consume to achieve their desired effect, because that amount's going to be really different from person to person, depending on so many factors. Like, we know that people's frequency of use and their tolerance would affect how much they want to consume. We know that the kind of product composition, if it has other cannabinoids in it, there's a lot of things, biology, metabolism, so many things affect the way someone experiences a dose of cannabis. And so the THC unit can be used for people to make decisions about how much they want to take individually, but it's not necessarily a recommended dose for everyone that will have the same effects across everyone, because that's just impossible. And it might be used in lower risk guidance or in guiding kind of recommendations, but itself, again, a unit of measurement that we can use in different ways.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. I'm speaking with Shay Wood of the Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction. We're talking about the idea of a standard THC unit in Canada. What is the situation right now for people if they walk into the cannabis store and they're trying to navigate how potent various products are going to be? What are they seeing on the labels of the various things available? And how is it different from this idea of a standard unit?
Yeah, great question. We know that THC is being communicated on product labels and in different consumer kind of information that's available in retail spaces in very different ways. So as I mentioned, the metrics themselves are different in terms of the percentage, the whether it's milligrams, whether it's milligrams per gram. And there's been some really good work done through the International Cannabis Policy Study led by David Hammond and his team. And they have really found that in general, cannabis literacy is quite low in Canada, that a lot of consumers have difficulty understanding the kind of the potency or the strength of cannabis. And it's kind of led to people having trouble dosing themselves and sometimes experiencing adverse effects from using cannabis. And also in some of these surveys, when people are asking what constitutes a high or a low dose, some people have a really hard time even identifying what constitutes a high or a low dose. So I would say generally there are certainly people who, especially people who might use cannabis more often or have a lot of experience with it, who know products and they know what's right for them. And they, if, especially if they use one product type, they know what to look for on that label. But for a lot of people who are going in to access cannabis products on our legal market, they might not have that kind of awareness of what they should be selecting in terms of the products and how much of that product they should be taking. So I would say that this metric of a THC unit isn't meant to replace these other metrics. Some of them are really important, like knowing the percentage of THC in dried flower, for example. People are used to seeing that who use dried flower, they know what it means for them. But it's supposed to complement other ways of communicating THC. And again, especially for people who use different types of products. So they're really understanding how much THC they're using across these different product formats. I would say there's still work to do to identify the best way to educate people on a standard THC unit. Of course, them understanding the concept and what it means for them is essential when it comes to implementing this. So there's more work to do on understanding the best way to educate around it, and also how it would practically be implemented on labels across product formats. Because as you kind of alluded to earlier, 2.5 milligrams of THC in one product might be easier to communicate than another product that might have, you know, hundreds of units in it. So there's still work to do there, but what we can definitely see is there is a need to boost cannabis literacy in Canada.
We've been talking about the idea of a standard unit of consumption around THC. What about CBD? Where does that fit into this picture?
Yeah, CBD, as I mentioned, is another constituent of cannabis, and it is being it's a non kind of intoxicating cannabinoid that exists, but it is being researched for various different medical applications. So there are certainly some areas where it can be recommended or it's being included in different types of medications and prescriptions that are being developed and that are available in Canada and elsewhere. It's definitely an evolving area of research because I think that we see THC and we research THC a lot in connection to both positive or beneficial outcomes, but certainly in relation to risks of harm and certain adverse effects or negative health outcomes. CBD is something we're still investigating. We do see some of that medical potential when it comes to what the research is saying, but we also know that it's not without its potential risks. So, certainly for certain populations who may have, again, more heightened vulnerability to cannabis and adverse effects, people who have a history of cannabis use disorder or addiction in their families, people who have mental health conditions in their families, people who might be trying to get pregnant, are pregnant or breastfeeding or chest feeding. I would say, really still pay attention to CBD and to cannabis products that have other cannabinoids in it, because the reality is we just don't have enough good quality research to know for sure what some of the effects are.
You suggested that cannabis literacy is low, lower than you would like it to be among the Canadian public. What are some of the things you would like there to be more awareness of when it comes to cannabis?
Yeah, I think in general, I think our overall goal in doing research and knowledge mobilization around cannabis, and also in this work around a standard THC unit, is to kind of reduce cannabis-related harms, improve health and well-being and safety of people living in Canada. And a lot of that comes down to helping people make informed decisions about their use that can help them really take control of their own cannabis use. And like you said, boosting that literacy can help people in those informed choices mitigate their risks that are always very individual. It's, you know, we can make all of these recommendations. There's great cannabis lower risk use guidelines that have general recommendations that involve things like delaying your use as long as possible before you begin using cannabis. So for young people, you know, not starting cannabis use until later in life, using lower potency cannabis products, considering the risks of different methods of use. So, you know, smoking comes with different risks, for example, increasing the risk of lung health complications, but also using less cannabis less often. These cannabis use guidelines are great and but they're also general. So people need to be able to make their own personal decisions based on their own risk factors around their cannabis use. And a standard THC unit can really help with that if we're able to help people understand it in a meaningful way and then have it in materials, in guidance materials, and on potentially on labels, so people can make those informed decisions when they're choosing their products and they're choosing how much of it to consume.
Are there any barriers to implementing this? Like, are people worried about, say, the cost of reworking labels, or is there disagreement on what the standard unit should be? Or are there any reasons why anyone wouldn't be on board with the idea of just having a standard unit that is consistent across different products?
I think once we get down to sort of that base concept and definition of it just being a unit of measurement that then we can apply in different ways, that it's not making a claim about being a recommended dose. We're not claiming that it's the same across different formats in terms of its effects, that we're not saying that, one unit equals a moderate high for everyone, for example. I think once people understand the concept of it being a unit of measurement, it kind of reduces some of those barriers, and people are like, oh yeah, this is kind of like a standard drink, and then we can use it in different ways. There certainly are practical barriers that need to be worked out, and that needs to be done in collaboration with a lot of different people. So, the people who come from public health, with government, with retailers and cannabis industry, really talking about how to practically do this on labels or in cannabis spaces. Like you said, there could be some costs associated with it, which I think is sometimes a worry. But there has been regulatory changes made before. For example, they've updated the warning labels on cannabis products so that they are a little bit more product specific. They re-implemented a risk, sorry, a warning label related to experiencing symptoms of psychosis. So there's been some changes on labels before. Often what's recommended when that happens is they just sell out the product that's already on the shelves, and then when they're making the new labels and they're putting new products on the shelf, then it's implemented then. So rather than having to yank products and things like that. So there are ways forward, and it's not a new frontier in terms of changing information on cannabis products, but it does take collaboration and hearing all voices at the table to understand what the real barriers are and then overcoming them together.
This is People First Radio. Shay Wood is a senior knowledge broker at the Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction. Right now, we're speaking about the idea of adopting a standard THC unit across Canada. You can think of it as a sort of cannabis equivalent to the idea of a standard drink. But is this a thing that would need to be labeled on specific products in this framing of a standard unit of cannabis? Like, this is three standard units of cannabis. I'm thinking of the analogy again to alcohol where, I can understand what a standard drink is in my head, but once in a while I might see a can of something and say, wait a minute, hold on, this is 13.5% alcohol. And it's not like that can says, hey, with a big flashing label, this is actually 2.5 drinks or whatever. So what exactly would you be calling for an actual cannabis product, be it a drink or a joint or a set of gummies, to have on the packaging?
Yeah, this is a really, really good point because as I mentioned, the standard drink has been implemented very well in allowing us to do that research. And then also in that research, once you have a large body of research, informing health guidance. However, in Canada, we haven't yet implemented standard drinks on drink labels. So, but other countries have. And so, for example, in the UK, if you pick up a bottle of wine, it'll say how many units of alcohol is in that full bottle, and then they'll have kind of a standard drink glass, like saying, six in the UK, it's 6 ounces of wine equals a standard drink, and there's so many in the bottle. So people are picking up, potentially picking up that container and making decisions about how much of it they want to drink in order to balance with how much alcohol they want to consume or expose themselves to. Now, here in Canada, we kind of have an opportunity to, I mean, alcohol's been around for so long, and they're sort of now being like, okay, let's think about that, how that might help consumers. For us, we have an opportunity pretty early in the legalization life of this substance to have it on the labels so that consumers can make those informed decisions based on what they see there of how many units, both is in the full product package and in maybe potentially a serving of that product. And that kind of takes you full circle back that once someone then understands, because they've seen it on their package, they've taken a certain amount of that product, and they know how much THC they've consumed, because again, right now, a lot of people don't know how much THC they're consuming. If they knew that, they would better be able to potentially report that on surveys and say, yeah, I use this amount of THC per week or per month. And then we would have better monitoring and research and better understanding of how much THC different people, different communities are being exposed to. So I think that that on the product label isn't, only for people making informed decisions about their use, but it is. But it's also so that they can more, I think, clearly identify and communicate how much THC they're taking in. Because if you think about screening right now, for example, a survey or even a doctor asking, how much cannabis do you use? Often people will talk about frequency of use, right? They'll say, I use once a day, I use once a week, once a month. And someone who uses cannabis in that frequency, they might be using very different amounts of THC. So, the one time I use a day, for example, I take two, hauls off a joint with pretty low potency flower versus using once a day and using a lot of a high potency THC product. Now, that exposure to cannabis, or sorry, to THC is going to be very different in those two individuals. But right now, we're not really able to screen for that as effectively because people aren't even really tracking their own THC consumption and exposure in that way. So that's why having it on labels can actually help to bring it even further past research, past guidance, overall guidance to decision making and reporting.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to the conversation today on this idea of a standard unit of THC in cannabis?
I think overall, I would just kind of reiterate that overall goal of implementing a standard THC unit is to prevent and reduce cannabis-related harms, improve well-being, health, and safety for people in Canada. And the standard THC unit is a building block for that. It's a unit of measurement that then can support research, education, informed decision-making that can lead to that goal of improved health and well-being. And I think familiarize yourself with the concept. Feel free to go to ccsa.ca to read some of our materials and our reports on it. And in the absence of kind of a widespread THC unit right now, I would really encourage people to look at the lower risk cannabis use guidelines if they use cannabis and they're interested in thinking about that more deeply and potentially, minimizing their risk of having harmful impacts from their cannabis use. There is guidelines and recommendations out there that can help minimize that harm.
Shea Wood, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks, Joe.
Shea Wood is a senior knowledge broker at the Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction. We were speaking there about the idea of adopting a standard THC unit across Canada.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.